Benedetti playing Vivaldi's Four Seasons. One of the UK's leading violinists with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, live from Glasgow's City Halls. And during the interval, Radio 3's Discovering Music uncovers the motivation behind Vivaldi's most popular work. Radio 3 live in concert, Friday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, it's just after 1 o'clock and this is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. It's time now for the news with Susan Ray.
The Formula One Grand Prix is getting underway in Bahrain, despite widespread calls for it to be cancelled. There's unprecedented security at the circuit, where the Bahraini authorities have deployed armed police, sniffer dogs and armoured vehicles. There have been days of violent clashes between anti-government demonstrators and security forces. Tensions are high after the death of one protester. The convicted fraudster Michael Brown is in the process of being extradited to Britain from the Dominican Republic. The multimillionaire, who was once a major donor to the Liberal Democrats, arrived in the Spanish capital, Madrid, yesterday. British officials will now try and bring him back to London. The government says it's taking seriously claims that MI5 breached the confidentiality of Libyans granted asylum in Britain after fleeing Colonel Gaddafi's regime. The Mail on Sunday says their details were passed to Libyan spies. The international envoy to Syria, Kofi Annan, has urged Damascus to stop its use of heavy weapons and fulfil a pledge to withdraw from populated areas. Mr. Annan has welcomed the UN's approval of up to 300 peace monitors for Syria. Polls have opened in France's presidential election. The centre-right incumbent, Nicolas Sarkozy, is seeking re-election, but he's facing a strong challenge from the socialist candidate, François Hollande. The Speaker of the Australian Parliament has stepped down amid allegations that he sexually harassed another man. Peter Slipper has denied the claims, but says he's standing aside while a criminal investigation takes place. The London Marathon has been won by Kenya's Wilson Kipsang. The women's title went to Mary Katani, another Kenyan athlete, for the second year in a row. Britain's David Weir won the wheelchair race for the sixth time. Most of the 37,000 competitors are amateurs, hoping to raise millions of pounds for charity. And the weather, there'll be showers in most areas this afternoon. These will be heavy in places, with hail and thunder. There'll be some sunny spells in between. It'll be quite a chilly night, with showers largely easing. BBC News at 1:03.
Read by Susan Ray. I'm Jill Anderson. Very good afternoon to you. Just looking ahead to 2 o'clock and our Sunday concert, we'll be hearing the Pacifica Quartet playing two string quartets by Shostakovich, numbers 14 and 15. And that's followed at 4 by Choral Evensong, another chance to hear Wednesday's service from the chapel of Keble College in Oxford, with music by Vaughan Williams, Malcolm Boyle and Rager. That's 4 o'clock Choral Evensong. But now it's time to join Lucy Skeeping for the Early Music Show.
Hello. When it comes to bringing up children, people often wonder about the business of nature versus nurture. Can talent be learned, or is it simply something that runs in the genes? That certainly seems to be the only explanation for the extraordinary talent that was passed down the generations of one of the greatest dynasties in musical history, namely the Bach family. Of course, we all know about the great J.S. Bach. We've been hearing part of his Magnificat, and music written by his sons is also heard a lot these days. But today we're going to trace the family quite a bit further back to uncover some of Bach's musical ancestors, most of whom, incidentally, are rather confusingly all called Johann. And we begin in the first half of the 1600s in the central German region of Thuringia. J.S. Bach is known to have mentioned his great-great-grandfather, a baker named Veit Bach, who lived in Wechmar, and who apparently used to accompany the motion of his mill wheel by playing upon his cittern. He died in or around 1577, but not before he'd produced a Johann himself, who in turn spawned three musical sons. And it's here that we begin our genealogical journey, with music by two of them, Johann and Heinrich. Now, this Johann Bach is really the first of the Bach composers whose works have come down to us. He was born in 1604 and became a town musician in nearby Erfurt, piping chorales and popular tunes on the hour every hour from the top of the city tower. Pretty tough job, you could say, not least with all those perilous stone steps to run up and down. And a year later, presumably to supplement his income, he also took on a job as a church organist. So just two motets by Johann survive. This is Unser Leben ist ein Schatten, Our Life is a Shadow, performed by Collegium Vocale, Ghent. an interesting work. Collegium Vocale Gent, directed by Philipp Herrefaker, with Unser Leben ist ein Schatten by Johann Bach, a great uncle of J.S. Now, as we've heard, this Johann was the eldest of three brothers. 9 years his junior was Christoph, J.S.'s grandfather, in fact, and the youngest, Heinrich, also a town musician in nearby Arnstadt. Just a handful of Heinrich's pieces survive, including 2 5-part string sonatas, which have only recently come to light. Here's the first one in C, and it's a typical example of the sort of instrumental music played by German town musicians at the time.
Thank you.
Musica Antiqua Köln, directed by Reinhard Goebel, with a rather unusual piece, Sonata in C by one of J.S. Bach's great uncles, Heinrich Bach. Heinrich's youngest son, Johann Günther, was an assistant organist and instrument maker, but his brothers Johann Christoph and Johann Michael both became composers. In fact, Christoph was probably the most important member of the Bach family before J.S. Not for him the draughty towers of the town piper. Instead, he was elevated in a rather different way, becoming organist to the Duke of Eisenach. We're going to hear an example of his work now. Ach, dass ich was es genug hätte. A lament for alto voice, solo violin, strings and continuo. J.S. Bach was later to describe Christoph as a profound composer. And certainly this setting with its dense writing for the viola da gamba has some impressively daring harmonies. Oh, were my eyes but streams of tears that I might day and night bewail my sin. This is Andreas Scholl with Concerto di Viola and the Basel Consort.
Thank you.
Andreas Scholl was the countertenor soloist in Ach, dass ich was es genug hätte, a setting of the Lamentations of Jeremiah by one of J.S. Bach's ancestors, Johann Christoph Bach. Christoph's music was much admired by his family descendants. C.P.E. Bach noted how he could compose in style both gallant and singing, as well as remarkably polyphonic, he said. And we can see what he means, I think, in the motet we're going to hear now. Lieber Herr Gott, wecke uns auf. O Lord, dear God, awaken us, that we may be ready. Church motet by Johann Christoph Bach, performed there by Cantus Köln and Concerto Palatino, directed by Konrad Jung-Hänel. This is The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and we're listening to music by some of J.S. Bach's ancestors today. Only possible, I might add, through the tireless research undertaken at the end of the 20th century by the musicologist Christoph Wolff, who on the 250th anniversary of Bach's death finally uncovered the original Bach family archives that had been missing for more than 50 years. Perfect timing. So, where were we? Oh, yes. Christoph Bach's younger brother, the church organist Johann Michael, had five daughters, the youngest of which, incidentally, was called Maria Barbara, who became the first wife of her distant cousin J.S. Bach. Michael is described as quiet and withdrawn. Perhaps it was all those daughters in the house. But his compositions are considered to be equal to those of Christoph, particularly his motets, a form that he dedicated himself to almost exclusively. This is Halt, was du hast, It's for a double choir and highlights two different texts, the second being none other than the famous chorale Jesu meine Freude.
Thank you.
Capella Sancti Michaelis and the Richard Carr Consort, directed by Eric Van Navel, with a motet by Johann Michael Bach. And we'll follow it with another work by Michael, this time for solo voice, and a text that describes a longing for death, a recurring theme in German sacred works in the 17th century. Ach, wie sehnlich wart ich der Zeit. With what love I await the moment when you will come, O Lord, to lead me up to heaven.
Thank you.
Gerard Lenn was the soloist with Il Seminario Musicale in Johann Michael Bach's Ach, wie sehnlich wart ich der Zeit. Well, our next stop on the Bach family tree is one of Michael's many cousins, Georg Christoph, and a work that gives us a lovely glimpse into just how close the Bach brothers were. It's a sacred concerto in three parts that dates from 16th of September 1689, which was Georg's birthday. Hearing that his two younger brothers, the twins Johann Ambrosius and Johann Christoph, were coming to visit him on that day, Georg must have carefully chosen the psalm he was going to set. Siehe, wie fein und lieblich ist's. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And his arrangement was tailor-made for this fraternal get-together, with the two tenor parts taken by the twins, whilst Georg himself took the bass part.
Thank you.
a setting of a psalm by Georg Christoph Bach, performed by Cantus Köln and Concerto Palatino, directed by Konrad Junghennel. Well, it seems just a few moments ago that we were hearing all about J.S. Bach's great-great-grandfather, the Jolly Miller Veit Bach. But we've now reached the last of the Bach clan that we're going to be meeting today, and he's from a branch that rather broke away. This is Johann Ludwig Bach, who was just a few years younger than his distant cousin J.S. Born in 1677, he became a musician at the Meiningen court, becoming Kapellmeister for the last 20 years of his life. So, to end the programme, part of Trauer Music, considered to be by far the most ambitious of all Ludwig's works. The first part describes human life as a prison in which the soul is held in chains, but with death comes enlightenment. And in this final section from part one, in a forceful, almost jig-like texture, the truth is revealed. My bonds are broken asunder, Lord, this is thy doing. Now I may see at my feet those whom once I obeyed, Satan, death and sin. This is the Academy für Alte Musik Berlin and the RIAS Kammerchor, directed by Hans Christoph Rademann.
Music from Trauermusik by Johann Ludwig Bach. The RIAS Kammerchor and the Academy für Alte Musik Berlin were directed by Hans-Christoph Radermann. And that ends today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced by Rebecca Bean.
Shakespeare Unlocked on BBC Radio 3, new productions of Twelfth Night.
If music be the food of love, play on.
Romeo and Juliet.
Only love sprung from my only hate.
And The Tempest.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on.
Featuring David Warner, Don Warrington and David Tennant.
Once more, on pain of death, all men depart!
Shakespeare Unlocked on BBC Radio 3, starting with Twelfth Night, tonight at 8:30 on BBC Radio 3.
And David Tennant plays Malvolio in tonight's play. This is Radio 3. It's just after 2 o'clock. It's time now for our Sunday concert, which this week is presented by Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Wigmore Hall in London for this performance of the last two string quartets by Dmitri Shostakovich. The players are the members of the Pacifica Quartet, an ensemble with an exuberant performing style who particularly enjoy getting to grips with complete cycles. Their recording of The Five by Elliot Carter won them a Grammy, and now they're coming to the end of a Shostakovich cycle here in London. Shostakovich had begun writing string quartets in 1938. His penultimate, the 14th, dates from 1973, when he'd been diagnosed with lung cancer and had only a couple of years to live. Not that you'd know that from the beginning of this work. Unlike the ghastly funeral hinted at in his previous quartet from 3 years earlier, number 14 almost skips along at the start, a metaphor for Shostakovich's renewed zest after his first course of radiation treatment. But this optimism can't last, and as the work progresses through its three movements, the music begins to seek a consolation that proves elusive. Shostakovich had dedicated his previous three quartets, in turn, to two violinists and the viola player of the Beethoven Quartet, who gave the works their first performances. Now it was the turn of cellist Sergei Shirinsky, who took part in the first performance of No. 14, but died a year later. The cello part leads from the start, and Shostakovich has built in a musical signature for Shirinsky, derived from the diminutive of his name, Seryosha. And the work is perhaps a tribute to all his friends in the Beethoven Quartet. There are several passages in which the inner parts are silent. By 1973, the group's original second violinist was dead, and the violist had retired. Very much with us now, though, coming onto the platform of Wigmore Hall, are all four members of the Pacifica Quartet to play Quartet No. 14 in F-sharp by Shostakovich.